following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Restaurante, which used to be Alto Forno Restaurant. I hope you're all doing well. Hope you enjoyed this warm weather we had earlier this past week. It was nice, actually, to sit out in my back porch. We've got a three-season porch, and this was now a seasonal-friendly time to sit out in the enclosed porch. It was nice. Got a little chilly at night, but that's okay. I hope you're getting ready for the spring. The snow is starting to melt, which I'm so thrilled about. It's a little messy out there. I think we've seen a lot of branches, tree branches down all over the place. All that wind that we've seen over the past few weeks, and even the snow that we had earlier in the months prior, has left a little damage around. We're going to have to go and walk around our yard and pick up some branches and twigs and sticks. But that's all good. That's fine with me. I just want to see some buds on the trees again. Life coming back. It'll be wonderful. Hey, I want to give a shout out to a couple people. I don't know if you've heard the new show that starts at 7 o'clock here, the new Aubuchon Hardware Store show called At Home that starts at 7. There's a new host. His name is John Haley. And what a voice this guy has. I mean, you guys all remember Dana. He used to be on the show. Come on, Biff, help me out. Who was Dana?
Dana Hersey?
Oh, yeah, Dana Hersey, that guy. Yeah,
the voice.
The voice. And I'll tell you, John's got a hell of a voice.
It's unbelievable.
It's great.
I mean, he's mesmerizing.
He is. He is. So if you want to wake up at 7 a.m. in the morning.
And if you want to make, this guy can make eggshell paint sound very exciting.
He does. Well, this week he made bird feeders.
Incredible.
Bird feeders sound exciting. So it was pretty great. Now, you had to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and actually that's 6 o'clock for you today.
Well worth it, though.
Oh, absolutely well worth it. So shout out to John Haley for a job well done at 7 o'clock today, and then we turn it over to Joanne McGinnis, who always does a great show at her show, Caring Voice. And if you want to know about what's going on with the viruses, what's going on with the vaccines that are out there, Joanne brings the top-notch voices and faces. Well, I guess you can't bring a face to a radio, but you can certainly bring a voice to a radio. And what great education she provides, and I always learn something from her. You know, these scientists, they got it right. They're working hard to try to figure out the best way to handle things. It's up to you, though, as the citizen, to make the judgment call as to what works for you, of course. Of course, we want you to wear a mask. We want you to wash your hands. We want you to watch your surroundings. But you know, business is open, folks. I mean, I've talked to some people that tell me, Mark, I never leave the house. I haven't left the house in a year. And then there's others, myself included. I mean, I'm still comfortable going to a restaurant, both takeout and eating in. I mean, look, if the restaurant's open and they're doing a great job, and if you go into these restaurants have done an extraordinary job. I'll tell you, we've taken some other friends out that hadn't been out in a while, and they come with us to a restaurant, and they walk in, they go, this is what's going on here? He says, oh, why didn't I come out earlier? These restaurants have done an extraordinary job, you know, handling all of the rules and the regulations that have been handed out to them. Some of them, I think, more extreme than they should have been, but they are doing their best. Restaurants are picking up. If you drive out on a Saturday night, you'll see most of the restaurant parking lots are getting really, really busy. So that's kind of exciting. We are moving forward. There are vaccines in hand. TSA just reported yesterday that they are back to March 15th of 2020 levels. March 15th, 2020, 1.3 million people passed through the TSA security checks. And yesterday, 1.3 million, almost a year to the date. Now, remember, we used to be at its high, about 2 million people would pass through TSA security checkpoints in the United States. Yesterday, it was 1.3 million. It had dropped to a couple hundred thousand, under a couple hundred thousand, in late March, early April. It has slowly started to pick up, but we are seeing more and more people traveling. Florida, of course, is becoming a more and more popular hotspot. I think one of the reasons that you can go down there, $44 each way was the tickets a few weeks ago to fly down to Florida. Now, if you check JetBlue today, those prices have gone way, way up because people are vaccinated. People are feeling more comfortable. And, you know, the more that we can vaccinate the older population, and that's really where the focus has been, the less and less and less risk we have of transmitting and sharing that the COVID disease on a more stringent, a more extreme level. I mean, sure, you can get it. Look, there's a lot of kids. I mean, I get a note, I think, from the high school every day that says there's somebody else that showed up positive with the COVID vaccine, with the COVID diagnosis, but none of them are showing any real big symptoms at all. So we're getting through it, folks. We're heading towards that light at the end of the tunnel. But here's what's kind of interesting. And you know, usually we talk financial advice in a language you can understand. And I always throw in a little bit of a extra spice into the show. So here's the deal. So I'm talking to some clients this past week. And actually, this has been over the past few weeks. And most of our meetings now are still done via Zoom. So we share, and the Zoom thing's working fine. Everybody can figure out how to do Zoom. So I'll say, you know, how you been doing with COVID? You know, you've been getting out, you've been seeing things. And one person says to me, Mark, I haven't left the house in a year. And I'm hearing that from a lot of people. I never leave my house, never leave my house. So I asked this person, I said, so what grocery delivery service are you using, you know, to get your groceries? She said, well, of course I go to the supermarket. You just told me you don't leave the house. You haven't left the house in a year. Well, you know, I go to the supermarket. I said, do you go anywhere else? Well, I have to go to CVS to get my prescriptions. And Farmer Brown's, I go to Farmer Brown's in Middleton. I go when they open in the morning. There's very few people there, so I can get my groceries and I get a few things there. And then she has different places that she'll go to early in the morning. But I said, you just told me you don't go anywhere. She says, well, I really don't get to go to the place I wanted to go to. So that means I'm not going anywhere. So here's what I've learned lately is that many people who are older, and I will put older in the 60 to 70 year old category, meaning they have grandchildren. Okay, anybody who's a grandparent. I am finding grandparents and even folks my age, I'm 55, have this interesting situation going on. When we were kids, you know, kids generally lie to their parents about what they did, where they went, who they dated, you know, what they got themselves into. Well, the tables have turned lately. I'm finding that grandparents are having to lie to their children because the children are telling them, you know, you can't see grandkid or we can't hug you. We can't come see you. Because we want you to be safe. We want you to be safe. And they're so paranoid about all of this stuff. Yet the 65-year-old community is saying, you know, I got to get out of the house. I got to do a few things. I got to live my life. Now, I want to do it responsibly. I'm going to wear a mask. I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to watch my surroundings. But I'm still going to get out. Yet they tell their children they don't go anywhere. They have to lie to their children because they still want to be able to have this connection with the grandkids and the kids. It's really fascinating to me because when we're in our office at Friedman Financial, of course, our offices are open right now, Monday through Thursday, 9 to 4:30. We do work from home on Fridays. And we are offering clients the opportunity to come into the office if they want to hold a review meeting, to meet for initial consultations, whatever it might be. Of course, we're happy to do it through Zoom, happy to do it over the phone. But every time there's an opportunity to do a review, we are finding that clients who are 70 plus are desperate to have the opportunity where somebody wants them to come to visit with somebody in person. And that 70-plus-year-old client is desperate to come to our office. We're happy to have them. Of course, we wear masks in the conference room, et cetera. But many of these clients, as you well know, we've been doing financial planning for more than 50 years here on the North Shore. And many of those clients have their children as clients. And they tell us when they come in, they said, look, you can't tell my kids I was here. Because I tell my, we don't tell our kids that we go anywhere. And it is really, really fascinating. But here's the best part. So now we've got some guidance from the CDC that says if you are vaccinated, if you have your full vaccination, you can start to gather without a mask on in small groups. So we are getting vaccinated in our office in the next month or so. Some of us have already started to get vaccines. But if our clients are fully vaccinated, we have no problem having you come into the office. We can meet in the conference room without a mask on. So we're moving in those steps, but of course we want to still be safe. We want to make sure that everybody's vaccinated. So things are moving in a positive direction. All right. So we're already 13 minutes into this show, and I haven't told you much about financial advice in a language you can understand, but that's part of the plan today. Part of the plan is to pepper you with all sorts of little pieces of information. I want to share with you many, many stories that have happened in the office over the past 2 weeks, and people seem to like this. I've been getting a lot of calls lately, a lot of people signing up for our free newsletter saying, keep telling us the stories of things that happen in your office, because I make it real, and that's what people seem to like, is they like things that they can relate to. So let me, first of all, before I tell you the stories, let me remind you about our free weekly newsletter. It comes out every Friday, more than 7,500 subscribers. You go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com, that's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page of the website. You put in your name, you put in your email address, and that's it. It's that simple. You put in your name, your email address, and starting this Friday, you will get a copy of Planning Pointers. Planning Pointers came out, started March of 2009. Remember what happened March of 2009? That was the credit crisis. That's when the market dropped almost 45%. It took a long time to come back. And what we did was we created this newsletter as a means of providing three very, very small stories, almost teasing stories, in the newsletter that provides financial advice in a language you can understand. You can dig a little deeper if you want to go into the highlighted areas. And it was also a way for you to just remain connected with us, because people get their newsletter and then something happens in their life that week and they say, you know, hey, I'd love to just reach out to Mark, ask him a question. Whether you're a client, prospect, someone that listens to the radio show, I don't care. Just hit the reply button. And by the way, all of those questions, they go directly to my personal email box. So you can ask me a question anytime you want. And I think many people will tell you that even if you're not a great fit for my office, I will still spend the time and talk with you a little bit on the phone. And that's kind of what's happened this past week. We've been getting a few calls from folks that might not be the greatest fit for my office. But hey, we've been doing this 52 years and the community deserves financial advice in a language you can understand. And that's what we try to do. I'll spend a little bit of time with you, try to answer your questions, of course, if we have time to do it. But speaking of time, I've been told that we're getting close to the time where we have to take a break. So what we're going to do, when we get back, I got to tell you some stories about some clients that we talked to, clients, prospects, people that called us this past week that really shocked me. But the lessons that they learned are lessons I think that will be very valuable to you. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante, Peabody.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, And at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be. Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Did you have trouble waking up this morning? You know, I did. It was spring forward. And Laura, thank goodness Laura reminded me that we were going to be springing forward. But fortunately, we don't have those old clock radios. Remember everyone used to have the little clock radio? I think Biff still has one, but...
Biff definitely has one.
You still have that old clock radio, right, Biff? But fortunately, my iPhone also moves forward, and so does probably your cell phone. But... It was tough waking up. I needed the alarm this morning to get up. But we are here, and hopefully you're joining us, or maybe we have a brand new demographic that's waking up with us this morning. They're an hour earlier.
Good morning, people.
Good morning.
Early morning people.
Yeah, that's right. These the real early people. By the way, did
Welcome
you know
to
this
Dollars
is a show?
And Cents.
Thanks. Yeah, we are here live in studio. We've been doing live in studio, actually, since... I guess beginning of the year, end of the year. It's been a while.
Well, you know,
right?
Someone asked me that the other day. Did we start in December or was it the first of the year?
Somewhere, it might have been the first of the year. It's been a while.
I can't remember anything.
I get
Mark,
to see your face awful. Every morning, Biff, every Sunday morning.
you got that going
yeah,
for you.
That's right. Well, hey, anyways, I wanted to provide you with some financial advice in a language you can understand. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante, where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area since 1968. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, I hope you'll give us a call. And so here's a situation where it was time for them to get serious. So, interestingly, a few years ago, this couple calls us up, and they wanted to see if we might be able to help them with financial planning. The husband was doing all of the financial planning work or all of the investment management work for the family. He did it all on his own. The wife knew was interested in learning, but really didn't get too involved in it because the husband took care of everything. Well, they come in, and as we're having this conversation, I realize that she wants to work with us, but he has no desire to do anything. First of all, he wanted to, number one, save money, of course, didn't want to pay for any financial planning advice. Didn't want to pay any advisory fees, nothing like that. He just wanted to do it on his own. And so he used the low-cost provider, which was Vanguard, which is fine. And he was doing his own investing. And in fact, I actually thought he was doing a pretty good job. I even told him so. I thought he was doing a pretty good job. Though he was trying to buy individual stocks for a lot of his accounts, trading that in and out. That wasn't my forte. And that's really where the rubber met the road there, is where I said, really, I can't help you with giving you advice on individual stocks and trading. But he had all of these accounts. He had a bunch of them at Fidelity, a bunch of them at Vanguard, some at Fidelity, some at Janus, some at just all different types of investment houses, some at some of these online brokers, all sorts of places. So I get a call a few weeks ago that he's died. And the wife calls me up and she says he passed away. And it came rather quickly. And now she doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know where everything is. She doesn't know what anything's worth. Wants to start having income coming from her investments. He says, you know, he just always gave her money, but she doesn't know where anything is. And so we've been meeting. And one of the things that we learned this past week in working with their estate planning attorney and everyone else was we put together an accounting of all of the assets that they had, all of the various accounts, whether it was joint accounts, individual accounts, IRA accounts, SEP IRA accounts, all of this stuff. And we were able to capture it pretty well because using the tax returns that they had prepared in years past and looking through some spreadsheets that we were able to dig up, we were able to cobble it together using statements and such. And so now began the process where she is supposed to take over his IRA, of course, because he's got a few IRAs that are held in various places that he set up, and she'd be the beneficiary, of course. And so we're told by the estate planning attorney, okay, you can start now converting his IRA to her IRA, and then we can start to take what's called the required minimum distribution because they're both over 80 years old. Actually, all you have to be is over 72, but they were both over 80. Anyways, So we start going through the process to start transferring this money and start thinking about how it's happening. And there's a holdup. They said, we need to get the information on the beneficiary. And I said to them that this was at Vanguard. And I said, well, you should have the beneficiary on file. And they said, we don't have one. I said, well, the wife is presumably named the beneficiary. Generally, when a husband sets up an IRA or when a wife sets up an IRA, you generally would name your spouse. Well, here's what we learned. Because this individual was so focused on taking care of investments and doing things on his own, he neglected to fill out all of the paperwork when he set up accounts at both Fidelity and at E-Trade and a few other places. He never named a beneficiary. Just skipped over it on the paperwork. And because, of course, you're just dealing with, you're trying to do this on your own, and you're trying to, and you're not working with anybody who's actually guiding you through all the paperwork. Vanguard and E-Trade and all these other places, they were like, we don't care if there's a beneficiary. You know, we're just here to collect your money and help you trade. And so this thought of trying to save money, trying to be diligent, has now cost this family quite a bit of money, because now the spouse is not going to get the IRA money so quickly. What might have been thought was that the wife would get this automatically and it would just get paid to her. And here's how what happens is if you are the spouse of somebody who receives an IRA, a retirement account, that retirement account can move over to the spouse. Of course, there's no taxes, but you don't have to spend the money in a short period of time. You can stretch out that money and follow the same rules of what's called a required distribution, required minimum distribution, where you have to take a small amount every year for the rest of your life, and then the rest of it passes on to the next generation. However, new rules this past two years, said that if the money doesn't go to a spouse, if it goes to anybody else, your son, your daughter, your grandchild, your dog, a trust account, it doesn't really matter, you must take all of the money in the IRA out within 10 years. That's right, within 10 years. So here's the thing. So now, because the husband passed away without naming a beneficiary, who we had all assumed, of course, was going to be the spouse, but he didn't do it, guess what happens to that IRA? Guess who it gets paid to? The estate of the individual. And when something goes into the estate of, you know what that means? Probate. It means it's going to probate. Now, they had thought there wasn't going to be any probate, but because this was the IRA, and these were two big accounts, there was almost $400,000 in IRAs getting passed on to the spouse. Well, getting passed on, presumably, to the spouse. $400,000 now is subject to probate. And that means fees. That means probate costs. That means reporting it and making these assets public and avoiding the privacy that you were potentially looking forward to. It's now public that you had these assets. And those assets are now posted down in town hall. And if you were a painter, you were a contractor, you were a plow person, you were anybody who you believe this family still owed you money, you can now start to lay claims against that money. And that stretches the process out even further. So now let's say there's no claims. Let's just assume there's no claims. And I would tend to think that most cases, most times they're not. We just got to go through the process, pay the probate fee. And now the estate account has to be converted to whomever it needs to go to. So chances are this asset, because the will says any money that's left over needs to go to this individual's trust account. And so it's not going to go to the spouse. It's going to go to his trust, which the spouse will have plenty of access to. But that's $400,000 that's going to go into this trust. And now, instead of stretching it out so that the spouse can get it over her lifetime, she is going to have to remove $400,000 from this IRA over the next 10 years. Now, you might think $40,000 a year over 10 years, big deal. It's still taxable to her. It's a large amount of money. And if she doesn't take it in 1 year, she has to take it all out by the end of those 10 years. This was a very, very, very costly mistake. And you know what's the worst part of this? Is the spouse is angry at her deceased husband. Because she trusted in the fact that he was doing what was best for the family. And because he wanted to try to cut some corners, he ended up creating more aggravation, more work, more complexity, and more costs to his wife, who was just really devastated that he had died so quickly. And that was the most frustrating part. I know that so many of you, as you think about your longevity, your life, you wonder, can I make the transfer of my assets to the next generation or even to my spouse as simple as possible, without creating costs, complexity, aggravation, etc.? Yet many of us think the will solves the problem. But folks, the will is what cleans up all the excess junk that was never really taken care of properly. And I worry about that. And I see this happen more often than not. A lot of people trying to cut corners, save money, not get the professional advice that they need simply because they think they know it all. And here's the reality. Here's one of the things that I've learned, and perhaps it's an expression that we've heard a lot, is we don't know what we don't know. That's one of the reasons why I don't do my own plumbing. I don't do my own electrical work. I don't even do my own contracting. I hire people to do work, and I know it's going to cost me money, but I know I'm going to do it right the first time. Now, there's plenty of people that love to be do-it-yourselfers, and I am, I'm proud of people that can do it yourself, do it well, but I am not. I am one that I would much rather pay somebody for their professionalism, for their experience, so that I can focus on doing the things that I want to do. Because I can't tell you how many times I've tried to do a do-it-yourself project where I'll go to the store and buy the stuff that I need. Then I realize, oh my goodness, I didn't buy all the stuff I need, and I go back to the store. Now I have all of the supplies. I start to work on the project, and the hole that I'm trying to drill into, that I'm trying to create, or the space that I'm trying to make becomes problematic. I break something. It gets bigger. And it's like, now I've got a bigger mess. Now I got to patch a hole. Now I got to do all these things. And it's like, what am I wasting my time for? Is it fun? No, I get aggravated. And when I get aggravated, I get aggravated with everybody. So I don't want that. I would much rather pay for convenience, pay for professionalism. Look, we're doing a landscape project around my house. I am hiring a landscaper to do it. I want to enjoy my time. We're all busy people. And if we plan properly, we can carve out a portion of our life that allows us to pay people with services so that we can make our lives easier. It's kind of the way I look at things. And that's one of the challenges. It's one of the challenges that I'm seeing people do, though, with their own personal finances. People are trying to play with these Robinhood accounts. Perhaps you've heard of that. Maybe your kids have a Robinhood account, or maybe you have an online account, or maybe you've heard, you know what? I can get a better interest rate if I go to my Capital One 360 program or Ally Bank rather than going to my local bank. Well, here's the problem that we're finding, and it's happening more often than not, is people that set up an account at Capital One 360 or at Ally Bank. It works great. They're great companies. But one of the things that you did was you set up an online account. So number one, you're generally not getting statements. You're not getting statements on a monthly basis. And you go, great, I don't want statements. I just want it to come to me online. Maybe I'll look at them. But the other thing that you don't get is what's called a 1099. And that's the tax form that you need to share with your accountant, or if you're doing it yourself, have it on TurboTax, that you need to have that you can report the interest that you've earned on these accounts. And what if you didn't print up your 1099? Because I'll tell you, Capital One 360 or Ally Bank or Robinhood or any of these others, they're not mailing them to you, folks, because they're trying to be the low-cost provider. They're not going to spend money on a stamp and processing. You have to go and grab it. Now, if you don't grab your statement, if you don't pull it down from the internet and then report it on your tax return, you know what happens? Oh, and about a year or so later, you're going to get a call from the IRS or a letter from the IRS. IRS doesn't call you. Just know that the IRS does not call you, nor does Social Security. You're going to get a letter from the IRS that says you misreported, because Robinhood and Ally Bank and all those others, they're sending a similar 1099 to the IRS. And if it doesn't match up, you owe tax money, you owe penalties. Folks, you have to be careful. You have to be diligent. You have to be responsible. I understand you want to save money. Everybody wants to try to cut costs. But you, if the more you want to cut costs, the more responsibility and burden that's placed on you. So don't blame anybody else. This is your fault if you didn't report your 1099. A little bit of a warning for you, but now we got to take a break. Well, you're going to head off for a break, but when we get back, I got to talk to you about some more interesting stories that I have had this week that are eye-opening, but they are so typical of what goes on out there in America. I want to give you financial advice in a language you can understand, and you'll get more of it when we're back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
The message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante, Peabody.
As you prepare for retirement, we know that your financial hopes and dreams are important to you. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? You need a plan. A plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced. And we're fiduciaries. We listen, we collaborate, and we deliver a plan that helps you sleep at night. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us to ask why and how and what if. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Our office is right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante at 41 Cross Street. Hope you're up. It's an hour earlier this morning. Hope you remembered it to get up a little bit earlier. Perhaps there's a brand new audience that's listening to this show that wakes up a little earlier than the typical audience. We've been doing this show for, I think it's, I don't know, 7 or 8 years here at North Shore 104.9. Then I was a year before at an old station called WTKK, which used to be an old talk radio station. But I'll tell you, I love it here on the North Shore doing this radio show because the people that we hear from are local. And that's what our business has always been. My father started the firm back in 1968. So that puts us at, I guess, 53 years, I guess, now. Well, that was a long time. That April something of 1968. If Dad's listening, I'm sure he'll remind me what the date was when he started. April 6th, maybe. April 15th, who knows. But it's, you know, it's been a long time. And we've established a really nice business here. I got to say, you know, we've got clients that date back to 1968. But one of the things that we also have when you have clients that date back that far is you deal with death. I mean, people get older. People do get older and people pass away. And so in our office, we average 18 deaths a year in our office. Now, that's just way of life, of course. But one of the things that you don't realize that you become expert at is giving guidance to folks as they prepare for death, the families, they prepare for the passing of a loved one, or what to do after a loved one has passed away. We have so many beliefs and so many thoughts and so many, you know, preconceived notions about what happens with money, how things move from one person to the next after someone dies. And I will tell you, it is very eye-opening to folks when they find out it doesn't work the way it does in the movies. There's no big oak desk that everybody sits around for the reading of the will. that doesn't happen unless you are of extraordinary wealth. And the way and the ease of money transferring from one person to the next doesn't happen as simply as you might have thought. And even if it is pretty simple, it still takes a little bit of time. So you want to be sure that you're structuring your assets, structuring what you have in a way that allows for the transfer of assets from one person, from you to your spouse, from you to your children, from you to an entity, whatever it might be. You want to be sure you plan appropriately ahead of time. In fact, just recently this past week, I visited with my estate planning attorney, and we just updated all of our documents. It had been 10 years since I had done it, and Laura and I realized that our old documents were still naming my mother-in-law as the guardian for my children. And we said, we can't have my mother-in-law as guardian for my children anymore. That just didn't make any sense. And so, well, we also realized that my youngest will turn 18 in June. So the only one that was going to need a guardian, if anyone, was my son, Corey, who would be turning 18 in June. So we appointed my oldest daughter, Mindy, to be that guardian for the next, 4 months. And then after that, all the kids are on their own if they want. They're 18. They're of majority age. But there was a lot of things that we talked about. We talked about our living will and our healthcare proxies. Who would we want to step in and sign for us if we weren't available to sign for one another? But these are important questions that you need to ask yourself. A lot of things that people seem to forget is, especially if you have minor children, you of course know that you want to leave your money to your spouse or your children. But if you have minor children, who do you want to be responsible for your minor children? And do you want that same person to be the person that manages the money that you leave behind for the benefit of your children? Lots of important questions to consider, and it may be two different people. You never know. So, like I told you, I want to share some situations here on the radio, financial advice in a language you can understand, that I'm seeing it from conversations that I get from people all day long. And the stuff that I've been sharing with you is stuff just from the past couple of weeks. So here's another one. So I was on the phone. I was asked to consider making some presentations to a not-for-profit organization, a large not-for-profit organization, where they wanted me to talk to potential donors about the various ways in which someone could leave money to this entity, whether it's now or through a will, or whatever else it might be. And she said, well, one of the problems that we're seeing is that, you know, people seem to think that they need to hold on to money for a lot longer than they need to. I said, what do you mean by that? She says, well, a lot of people that we talk to say their financial planners are telling them that they need to make sure that they have enough money to support them through age 100. And I said, that makes sense to me. She says, but life expectancy is only 83 years old. So why would a financial planner plan for someone to keep money till age 100? She says, if they died at age 83 or 84, now they can start planning on a portion of their money that they could potentially leave to charity. And I said, where are you getting this information? 83 is life expectancy for the average American in the United States. That includes people that are of ill health, folks that are homeless, folks that live in difficult neighborhoods, as well as folks that are affluent, folks that are healthy. Everybody's in that pool. So just because the average is 83 doesn't mean that people are going to die at age 83. In fact, there are many people that are listening to this show who are over age 83 and they don't feel like they're ready to die yet. I said, in fact, if there was a financial planner out there that was building strategies that was based upon you running out of money at age 83 because that's what life expectancy was, I think you should be thrown in jail. Because that's imprudent. That's ridiculous. I don't know when you're going to die. In fact, I think you may live longer than age 100. In fact, we've thought about moving that life expectancy out to 110 or 115, especially for clients that might be in their 30s or 40s. You need this money to last. You need this money to work for your future, for your benefit. But trying to plan for money just lasting until age 83? Now, I will admit, there are many people when I show them that, you know, we have money, trying to figure out money to last to age 100. And people will say, well, there's no way I'm living that long. My father died at 71. My mother died at 69. I'm not living that long. That's for sure. I said, well, would you like me to have you run out of money at age 83 and encourage you to spend money at a certain level so that there was nothing left on your 84th birthday? Of course not. Nobody wants that. So it's trying to find the right mix. But I think it was interesting that this not-for-profit organization was asking me to talk to the general public from a perspective of running out of money at 83, and maybe you don't need to keep as much money as you have. And I thought that was a little insensitive. Because think about this. Just like I said, average life expectancy is 83 years old. That includes everybody, right? So I want you to ask yourself this. What's the average income, the average household income of a family of four in America? What's the average household income of a family of four in America? That means average would mean put it in the middle. Stick it in the middle. You add everybody up, all of the households that are out there. What's the average income? Now, I've told this story because I share it when I do my classes up at North Andover High School, when I do a personal finance class, to try to give them a sense as to what goes on out here. Average income of a family of four in America, $58,000. $58,000, that's the average. So you might say, well, I guess I'm doing better than the average, perhaps, as a family of four. So what's the average? I said, well, that's America. That's America. So now put that, the average life expectancy of America is 83 years old. Average household income, family of four, $58,000. How about for just, what if we just include Massachusetts? Don't include everybody. Don't include every state. Don't include every region. It's about $66,000 in Massachusetts. That's where it is in Massachusetts. Now, what if we do North Andover, where I live, the town of North Andover? Average, $90,000. You go to Lawrence, though, town right next door, and you're at $38,000. Big difference, right? So how am I going to come up with 83 years old as the, I'm not going to build a plan for a client at age 83 years old. It's all where you grew up, where you live, your lifestyle, everything that you do. We have to do this right. And that's why it all starts with understanding what you own less what you owe. Everything that you have, what do you have in the bank, in brokerage accounts, in investment accounts, in 401ks, in IRAs, in cash value of life insurance, in an annuity, in everything that you have, the value of your house, the mortgage that you keep on your house. I love when people say, I don't have any debts. I said, do you have a mortgage? Well, of course I have a mortgage. Well, you have a debt. Now, there's all this. No, you might say, I have no credit card debt. I have no student loan debt. I have no automobile debt. But if you have a mortgage, you have debt. If you have an equity loan, you have debt. I didn't say it's bad. But understanding what you have and being able to see it and who owns it and all of that is so critically important for you to start making the right decisions. And the other part of it is, where's the money coming from? Are you working? I love when people say, well, I want to retire at age 65. Okay, that's great. I'm glad you want to retire at 65 or 68 or 70. I don't care. But what does retirement mean? Does retirement mean I'm going to stop working and never make a nickel again? I find many people who tell me that they want to retire from their job are saying, I just want to retire from my job, but maybe I'll work part-time and do something and maybe make $20,000 or $30,000 doing something else. So when we start to build a financial plan, it's critically important that we understand everything about your situation, not just, hey, Mark, I've got a $300,000 rollover from my 401k, and I need you to invest it for me. That's a question that we get a lot. And the answer that I have for them is something that oftentimes surprises them. And that, my friends, is something that I want to share with you. When we get back, the answers that we provide to our clients. When people say, hey, Mark, can you help me roll over this money and give me some investment advice for this chunk of money? I want you to understand the way that we're going to respond, and it's going to be far different from the way most investment advisors respond out there. That and more when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money.
When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local Program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante, Peabody.
As you prepare for retirement, we know that your financial hopes and dreams are important to you. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? You need a plan. A plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced. And we're fiduciaries. We listen, we collaborate, and we deliver a plan that helps you sleep at night. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us to ask why and how and what if. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Show 104.9. I almost forgot the call letters for a minute. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Show 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno. No, it's not Alto Forno. Jeez, I'm just really screwing up. I had to wake up early this morning. It's an hour earlier. So it's just above Daniela's restaurant.
Is this the part where they say you get confused this hour? You get confused. You have difficulty concentrating.
Yeah, this
is this the part?
This is the part. This is what happens. Man, I had to wake up an hour earlier. And like, I know that we're listening. Probably a whole new demographic of people listening to us this morning, because I don't know how many other people were smart enough to get up this early this morning. Anyways, hey, I want to remind, especially if you're part of a new demographic, a new listening audience, I want to remind you that we put out a free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It lands in your inbox every single Friday at 10:30 in the morning. It's free. It provides little tidbits of advice. Many of those items that I talk about here on the radio each and every Sunday morning. If you want my free newsletter, go to the website friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name and your email address, and boom, you will start to get that newsletter starting this Friday. I promise you this, by the way. If you sign up for the newsletter, this is not one of these tricks where you sign up and now I'm going to start calling you and bugging you. And no way. We have a very successful, very mature practice. I do not use my newsletter as some marketing tool where I'm going to try to use it to generate new business. I'm just happy to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. If you would like to work with us, if you'd like to schedule an initial consultation, if you want to ask me questions, if you want to reach out to us, I encourage you to do so. I promise you this. I will not be knocking on your door. I will not be calling you. It's up to you. When the time is right for you to work with a firm like ours, we would be delighted to talk with you, but only until you're ready. I'm not going to try to use some fancy marketing scheme or some type of a hot new product or an idea to get you in the door. That's not how we do that. And that actually leads to the point that I was making in the last segment, where we will get calls from people and we'll say, hey, Mark, I'd like to talk with you about having you take a look at my stuff. I'd like to roll over money from my 401k plan. And I will tell them, well, hold on a second. Tell me a little bit about your financial situation. And they say, well, I really don't feel too comfortable sharing my whole financial situation with you just yet. You know, I don't know much about you, but I'd like to have you explore how you could manage some of my money. I said, well, that's fine. I said, but that's not how we work. And frankly, as a mature practice, I can say that. But most financial advisors, they're trying to generate business and they will take business any way they can get it. We are fiduciaries, and I take the word fiduciary very seriously, and have since I've been in this practice. I think the term fiduciary is shown up over the past couple of years and people are asking about it, they truly don't understand what it means. But we have been a fiduciary since the day I earned my CFP designation more than, I don't know, 20-something years ago. So let's be sure you understand something. To be a fiduciary means to place your interests first. Place your interests ahead of my own. In fact, there's a term, you've heard the term, the golden rule, to do unto others until you, as you do unto others how they'd want to be done unto you, something like that. You get the message. The platinum rule, and this is, many people don't hear of the platinum rule. Now, I don't know who came up with this crazy expression. I just had to learn about the platinum rule in a continuing education course that I took this past week. The platinum rule aligns with the fiduciary statement of placing your client's interests ahead of yours. So think about this. Client comes to me and says, Mark, I have a rollover of $300,000 for my 401k plan. I'd like you to come up with an investment strategy for me. And I said, look, as a fiduciary, I need to be sure that I'm giving you advice that aligns with what you need. So in order for me to give you that advice, I need to know everything else about your financial situation. Because if I don't, I could find myself giving you bad advice. Well, I don't understand, Mark. I don't feel comfortable sharing all of my situation with you right now. I'd just like to test out how you are as an investment advisor. Well, wait a second. I cannot predict what's going to happen in the next 3 months, 6 months, or 12 months. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Don't set up an investment account with me or any investment advisor for that matter to see if that person can perform better than the next guy over the next 3, 6, or 12 months. That is insane. That is crazy. That is not financial planning. That is speculation. That's taking huge risks. If you want to work with a firm like ours, we are committed to understanding where everything is and what everything is worth first before ever investing money. And people say, well, I don't want to do that right now. I just like to start. I say, that's okay. You're just not a great fit for our office right now, but there are plenty. I mean, most financial advisors would be happy to take your money. We're going to do it right, though. That's what I'd like to say. We do it right. We have a 99% retention rate in the office, and that's been the way it's been for as long as I've been in the office. More people come to us when they say, you know, Mark, it was nice working with a variety of different advisors. They're actually really nice people. The guy I talk with at this place or that place or the other place, they're nice people. But I need someone who's going to take my whole situation seriously because there's a point in my life where the paycheck's going to stop. And I'm going to get Social Security. Actually, I have to decide when to take Social Security and how to take it. And this investment advisor is really only interested in talking to me about my investment account. He might point me to a website, but he's not giving me advice on Social Security. He's not giving me advice on how to take what Medicare supplement I should be selecting, what option I should take from my pension options when it comes time to retire, how I should start taking money from which places to supplement my Social Security income when I'm retired, how much might I need to earn on a part-time basis, where's the best place to take money? How should I structure the ownership of my assets? Are my beneficiaries structured in the right place? Am I having the right taxes withheld from the distributions that I take from my various accounts, whether it's Social Security, whether it's from my IRA, whether it's from my investment account, so that I maximize everything that I have? That's what we're going to do as a financial planner. Yeah, can we invest money for you? Of course we can. I've got $500 million of our clients' money under management. But frankly, managing of the money is the easiest part. And so this guy calls me up this past week and he says to me, you know, I'd really like to have you do some financial planning work. He tells me a little bit about his situation. And realistically, after I learn about their situation, I realize what he really wants is for me to take a look at the allocation of his 401k plan and tell him whether he's doing okay. And I told him, I said, you don't need to pay me for that. You can figure that out in a lot of different free locations. A lot of different services will provide that to you. Probably the 401k company that you work with will allow you to do that through their own little analytical tools. Folks, balancing your 401k or creating an investment allocation has got to be the easiest job out there, yet Cramer and CNBC and Bloomberg and all of these other financial news networks make it sound like that is the most complicated and most difficult thing to do. And now, more and more people want to buy individual stocks because they've seen how much some of these stocks have inflated in value. Well, there's been a wake-up call this past week. All of those growth stocks, all of those tech-driven companies that were doing so well over the past couple of years, last month were down 11% on average. Growth funds, large-cap growth funds, down 11%. Down 11%. Well, value companies, the ones that were the dogs last year, those are those, you know, blue-chip dividend-paying stocks that people said, oh, now I got to get out of those because I got to go after my growth stocks because that's what's making money. Well, finally, the value companies are coming back. And that's one of the reasons why you have a little bit of money in growth, a little bit of money in value, you balance it out properly, you add some fixed income, you add some small cap investments, you add a lot of things to it, and you align it in a way that aligns with your portfolio. And here's something that's even more fascinating. Sometimes you don't need to take too much risk. In fact, I talked with someone earlier this week who had most of her money in cash. And she says, I think now's the time for me to get back into the market. And I learned about her situation. And I learned about how much income she needs from the assets that she has, along with the income sources that she already has from Social Security and pension and other places. And I said, you're crazy. She was in her 80s. And I said, you do not need to invest this money. But she says, but I could get a better return. Yeah, but you could also lose money. And you don't need to take that risk. You have enough money positioned where you are right now where you don't need to take the risk. Let's find out what your real risk tolerance, what it is that you want to do. That, my friends, is what's called financial advice in a language you can understand. Well, we got to get out of here. I got to make room for Scott Whitley. Scott Whitley's got a great show, and he's going to talk about some great restaurants that you can go to visit, whether it's takeout, whether it's dining in, and more people are dining in. I'll tell you, I ate at Fishbones last night in Chelmsford. I thought it was outstanding over there. Their seafood was terrific. Great, great food over there. But Scott will tell you a whole litany and a whole list of great places to eat at. Get out there, folks. Spend your money. Have a good time. Just make some smart financial decisions. I got to get out of here. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.